Welcome to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we have a special guest, a guest that's going to be talking to us today about how we can find a true wealth and the path to financial freedom. And this is one of the first guests that I've had in the show that's talking on this topic, so I'm super, super excited. And we are speaking with Trevor Evans, and he is a speaker and trainer for the Legacy Education Alliance and a real estate investor. So welcome, Trevor, to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you, Myrna. The pleasure is all mine.
All right. Thank you. So, yes, it's a mutual admiration society here. I met Trevor at one of his training sessions, and I was blown away. And the first thing I said to him, I want to have you in our show. So thank you for accepting the invitation. All right. So in keeping with the format of the show, I normally like to leave you with a tip of the week that comes directly from Coach Myrna, and it ties in with our topic. So my tip of the week today is going to be on what is true wealth. And the quality of our lives does not depend on how much we accumulate, save, and spend our money. True wealth comes from who we are on the inside and not by what we do or what we have. We cannot measure our self-worth by our net worth. So the first step is to make the mental shift that your world in here will be reflected of your world out there. Money magnifies who you are. And what I mean by that is if you are mean and miserly when you are poor, you will become meaner and more miserly when you are rich. You will work overtime trying to hold on to your wealth. You're going to see people trying to take it from you in every corner, which is why they say that when you become rich, you're no more happier. There are two types of people in regards to wealth. One who is magnetized and full of confidence and know his potential, and the other is demagnetized and full of fear and doubt. And he tells himself, I will lose my money. People will talk about me behind my back, etc., etc. He sees failure at every turn. So he does nothing. He takes no risks. As you have probably figured out, the demagnetized man will never get very far. I love the parable Jesus told about the man who was going on a long trip. He called his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the third. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with the 2 bags of silver also invested and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. When the master returned, he was full of praise for the 2 servants who invested his money and increased it, and he gave them more. But the servant who gave him his money back with no increase, he called wicked and lazy. The moral of the story was that to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given to them. But to those who take no risks and do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. So I want to leave you with, there's 3 honest ways in this life to make or get money. The first is to work for it. And the common consensus out there is that with just a few exceptions, you can never become wealthy working for someone else. The second way is to inherit it. For most of us, inheritance is not a sure bet. It's not for me. And the third and the most powerful way is to invest it. Let your money work for you. Compound interest is one of the most powerful tools in the accumulation of wealth. Let it work for you. Do you know that if you put $2,000 in your 401k when you're 21 years old and you let it grow untouched with an annual compound interest of 10%, at age 65, it would have grown to over $1 million. That's the power of the compound interest. So, as I said earlier, my guest today is Trevor Evans. He's a teacher at Legacy on the topic of acquiring wealth through real estate investments. But before I introduce Trevor and tell you more about him, here is a word from our sponsors today. So, today's show is being sponsored by ANC Limousine Service and Young Real Estate Investment Services. When in the Greater Toronto Area and ground transportation is needed, look no further. Contact ANC Limousine Service for your luxury ground transportation. We will get you there safely and on time. Call 416-892-8336 and ask for Colin. Once again, that number is 416-892-8336. We treat you royally. Are you looking to invest in the South Florida market? The time is ripe for investors. Call Young Real Estate Investment Services at 954-999-6125 for all your sales, rentals, or property management services. We are licensed in real estate and property management, and we will buy or lease your house. So, don't delay. Call today, 954-999-6125. So that's a word from our sponsors. So let's get on with the show and for me to tell you a little bit more about Trevor Evans. Trevor is a husband of 19 years, father of two children, ages 22 and 18, a speaker and trainer for Legacy Education Alliance. He's an entrepreneur, a real estate investor, and founder of the personal awakening brand, Being Normal Sucks. It sure does. So, Trevor, welcome again to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I hope you like my tip of the week.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, so that's awesome. All right, so what we're going to do now is we are going to take a quick station break, and we will be right back. I know that you are really interested in talking to Trevor and finding out what he knows about acquiring wealth. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young. And as I told you in the first segment, we are speaking today to Trevor Evans. And our topic today is going to be, what is true wealth? The path to financial freedom. And as you know, we have to have a mindset shift when we do anything that's out of the ordinary or normal, as you would say. So Trevor, like I said, I met him a couple months ago, and he blew me away with his knowledge on not just the brick and mortars of real estate, but the foundation of it. So today we are going to talk about the path to wealth, and it starts with some changes in you as a person and in your mind. So, Trevor, but before we get into, you know, the meat and potatoes of our call today, tell me a little bit about your path to becoming a speaker and trainer at and a real estate investor at Legacy.
Well, yes, no problem. I began my journey. I mean, I've been associated now with Legacy for 10 years, and I introduced to them when I was exiting the military. I spent 10 years in the Army, and I had reached the pinnacle of what I felt I was comfortable in doing in the military, which was working more so with the soldiers than it was the organizational aspect of the military. So the higher in rank you go, the less it becomes about the soldiers and more it becomes about the organization. And I understand that, but that's not what I wanted. So I decided to get out and start my transition there. I didn't know exactly what I was going to do when I got out, and I heard a radio ad about learn about investing in real estate, and I have no clue about either subject. I went to a free preview, and I purchased there, and they had a 3-day event in Atlanta. And so I drove from Fort Bragg to Atlanta, which is a 2-hour drive, and spent that 3-day in Atlanta at that event. And when I saw there, I've always been the backseat of the family, if you want to say. I never saw things the way that my family saw things or my friends saw things. I was always that person that walked on his own path, and it's just how I was. And so when I heard the topics discussed at the weekend, it interested me because a lot of what was being said, I had thought, you know, on my own before. And so it was more like a confirmation that, oh, I'm not crazy. And so I moved forward, invested there, and didn't have any knowledge or anything at all about investing in real estate. And so what I learned through this company is that it begins with what you know, and it begins with, as you said, a mindset. And I always thought that, and we all think that mindset is being positive or being motivated and all that. And so when I hear people say, I have the mindset to be wealthy, that's an inappropriate truth, because what they're stating is the characteristics of to become wealthy. It's more about how you process information. And that requires the correct mindset. Being motivated and being knowing that you want more and deserve more and taking initiative, that's not a mindset, that's a characteristic. And so a lot of people mistake that characteristic for a mindset. And so that's what I learned, was to become wealthy, you must learn how to process information that everyone has access to differently to create an appropriate result with what you want. And everyone has their own definition of wealth. And wealth, you know, to me is not a bunch of money, but wealth is a lot of time. You could be rich and have a lot of money, but not a lot of time to spend that money or enjoy that money. But if you're wealthy, then you have a lot of time and a lot of money to go out there now and enjoy your time, enjoy your money with yourself and your family, and impart wisdom onto others. So that to me is what wealth is. Wealth is the ability to, if anything, maintain your lifestyle, but still are able to do and have and come and go as you choose without your lifestyle being affected. And, of course, that's true wealth. You have the money alongside the time.
Wow. That That is very good. I had a couple of aha moments when you were speaking, because I remember in our training, you kept saying that we are looking at it from on the left side. We're looking at things with the left side of the quadrant, meaning that we're not looking at it with an investor or a wealth mindset. We're looking at it from the normal mindset that you were just talking about, you know, being normal sucks. And a lot of times you've got to be able to see the big picture, and you've got to be able to see what other people don't see. So I love that. Yeah, being wealthy is how you process information. And that is so true. That is so true. So, all right. So you, your path was, you know, similar to mine, because that's basically, you know, someone sent me an email and invited me to this 3-day seminar. And then, of course, they had you on that end of it. So that was amazing. So I think what you're saying is that you took the class, and now you teach it, right?
Correct, yeah. I had no idea what, you know, I just thought I was going to learn about houses and stuff. And so I did, but it went way beyond that. And through my success in that arena, our company always tries to promote from within. And so anyone that is in contact with students from either a seminar aspect or from a class or mentorship aspect has to have gone through our program and have gone through our system so they can fully understand the student's perspective, because everyone comes in with the same mindset. And so the individuals that interact with the students once they move forward have to have an understanding of that process that they'll be going through. And so I did not know that this is what I was going to be doing once I got involved. And when I was asked to get involved, when I first went to my first event and just to view it and see how it all played out from behind the scenes, if you want to say, I knew immediately that I wanted to be up front, and the opportunity, it didn't come to me until 7 years later.
Really?
Yeah. And so All that time I was still investing. I was still, you know, living my normal life or whatnot. I would go out on occasion as a team member, you know, and work the back of the room. I had good mentors in my life that kind of held the reins back on me, because if I had my choice, I'd have tried to speak in year one. And I didn't know what I didn't know, you know, the process to it.
All right. Well, you think you can do it, which is why you said you would speak in year one. You're confident. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't know that the process to it. So I was held back for a good 7 years. And during that 7 years, I was able to learn from a lot of different speakers and a lot of nuances about it. I didn't have the funds to pay for speaking, you know, lessons or anything like that. So I haven't taken anything as far as Toastmasters, or I haven't been trained by any of the elite speakers out there. I just gathered my information and kept working the real estate. And as the mindset shifted, I was able to now articulate it in a presentation, which is what I do now. So I am a complete, if you want to say, amateur up there, because I have no professional training as far as how to speak. And as you know, I stutter, so.
Well, I mean, you know, let me support that for a minute. I am a Toastmaster trained speaker, and I have gone to a lot of, you know, I've been to a lot of events where there are speakers. And one of the things that in order for you to be successful as a speaker, to me, and I think that's the consensus, is that you've got to be entertaining, which is why a lot of the, you know, the speakers, you know, have comedy, or, you know, the stand-up comedians are, you know, are the best speakers, because they're able to to present their information entertaining. So, you know, Toastmasters teaches you basically not only how to present, but how to capture the audience's attention and how to be whatever. And I will tell you that you're one of the best speakers that I've ever witnessed because you were extremely passionate. Your stuff was laid out in such a way that you had us all spellbound for 3 days. And that's a Toastmaster speaker speaks for 20 minutes to an hour. You know,
yeah.
You're able to present for 3 days. And I couldn't believe that you have been doing it for 10 years because to me, you know, when you do something for a long time, it loses its hold on you. It loses the excitement. You lose some of the passion. And I don't know what it is that you're eating or they're feeding you, but your passion is right up there to number 10. And that is what makes an interesting speaker. I mean, there's times when you were jumping around.
Yeah, it's one of the things that, you know, we have people that always come by and view the events. So we never know when they'll be there because, you know, they don't want to throw us off. But I've been told that gravitas is, I guess, what I have. And like, what's gravitas? And they're like, well, to sum it up, it's charisma. And I'm like, okay.
So,
all right. If that's what it is, that's what it is. So, but,
well, you do have that because you wear the $2,000 suits and all that kind of stuff. But the content and the presentation still have to be good.
right. A lot of it is a passion, though. You have to really believe in what you're saying up there because the audience, they're not. The audience is not fooled, and the audience are not stupid. They can tell when someone is just throwing up information and when someone's really trying to impart a lesson on you, and that requires passion, but it also requires you to really
know your
stuff so well that you can convey it in that way.
Yeah, well, that's true. So that was your path. Very good introduction. I know from your story that there's a backstory, but, you know, if we have a chance, we'll get into that later on. But, all right. So my first question is, you talked about mindset already. Before you become an investor, what mindset shift should you overcome? I know that we talked in your intro there about you have to process information better. So, like the parable that I mentioned in my tip of the week, right, we must overcome the urge to hide our money in the mattress like our grandparents used to do. I remember, you know, we're both from the Caribbean and grew up with no banks. So, you know, grandmothers used to hide the money in the bank, you know, in the mattress. And even, you know, maybe in the early days, people didn't trust the bank, so they never put their money in the bank. And, of course, there's no growth if you can't invest it or do something. So, and then the parable talked about the guy that hid the money because he didn't want to lose it. So to me, that's one mindset that you need to get over, how you process things, how you look at risks. So what can you support in that as far as what you need to do or become to be an investor?
Well, Wilmer, everything depends on how much you care about your existence. If you don't care very much, then that's fine. You just keep being sheep-like and feeling like a victim, you know. But however, if you care about being alive, if you're excited about the potential that this incarnation offers you, then you'll start thinking differently. You'll ask questions and look into teachings like this, you know. And then when someone like me tells you that maybe there's a higher step you can take for yourself, then you just take it, you know, because once you care about your life, once you care about what you're going through or not going through, that's when you can now start to allow your mindset to be shifted because one thing about our mindset, all our mindset is a bunch of of beliefs, and those beliefs turn it into truth. And there's only two kinds of truth. Everything is anything is truthful, okay? And what requires it to be truthful is for someone to believe it, okay? And so you can't tell anyone that what they think or do is wrong because it's not wrong to them. But there are two truths. There are an appropriate truth, and then there are inappropriate truths. And a lot of people, when it comes to their mindset, the truth that they understand are inappropriate truths because those truths lead to an inappropriate result. You know, like one of the major topics in my events is credit cards and debt. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone comes in that environment with their truth about credit cards and about debt. And they're not wrong because they're experiencing those results, that they're experiencing those truths that give them the belief that debt is bad and credit cards are bad and all that. And so you can't say that, okay, you're thinking wrong because they're not, because they're experiencing the result. And so knowing what result you want will help you take the appropriate result or the appropriate action. And what I always tell folks is that we know that risk is involved in investing, all right? And anything that you want to do that's worth doing, you know, some risk is involved. And our belief system is never do anything that looks like a bad idea. And I'm here to tell you this. When it comes to risk, all risks look like a bad idea. It's just how you process the risk. It's how you process the information that you're given within whatever it is you want to do, and how you process the information will now help you create the appropriate result of what you want and not try to change the facts, because people tend to want to change the facts whenever the result that they try to achieve didn't come true. And it's a lot harder to change a fact than it is to change yourself. So understanding the appropriate result that you want is first and foremost, and I say it in three key rules. I call them the three laws of success. And the first one is know what you want and why you want it. A lot of people know they want something, but they don't know why they want it. And if you don't know why you want something, then you won't seek out the appropriate truths to attain this thing that you want. You just take information from here, here, and here, and try it out. And then if it doesn't work out, then okay, on to the next thing, or let me pick something else. So, but when you truly want something that someone else has acquired, or a family member in the past or now has acquired, they acquired it, you know, a certain way. You know, it wasn't because they got lucky. So once you know why you want something, it will give you the determination, the desire to seek out the appropriate information to yield that result. And then it's always changing a belief system when it comes to the thing that you want, that you're desiring. So law number two is, once you know what you want and why you want it, law number two is adapt yourself, which is change, which is the hardest part of this. Wealth is simple, Myrna. I'll say it again. It's not easy, but it's simple.
Okay.
And then obviously the third is, once you know what you want, why you want it, once you adapt yourself, you change, then you should have it. And
really,
it all comes from knowledge.
Yeah. Knowledge is very important, but they also see on the flip side of knowledge is nothing unless you apply it. So, yeah, it always requires some kind of action. I mean, you can go to school and get your PhD, but, you know, you never work on anything that you've learned in there because you're really not applying it. So that is good. As you're speaking there, remember, and I know that you're into, you know, Abraham Hicks, and, what Abraham Hicks says is that every day that you should go and look for contrast. And contrast is where you, something that you see that you don't have and that you want, and you put it in your little box that says, you know, this is what I want. So, I will tell you that one of my most eye-opening talks that you had was on credit card debt, and that's actually my next question. That was one of my mindset shifts regarding credit card, because we all know that everybody talks about how you get rid of debt and how you get rid of credit card if you want to be wealthy, and you had a totally different mindset spin on it. And like you said, the truth is all about belief. And, I mean, a lot of times I'm in the space of coaching and personal development, and a lot of times I go into seminars, and the first thing they say is, come into it with an open mind. You know, leave everything you know outside the door and come in being ready to get some information that would probably change the way you think. Because, yeah, I mean, you guys do these trainings all the time, and, you know, there's a certain percentage of people that would come in there and listen and say, wow, this is great. And there's some other people that would leave with a closed mind because they came in with, you know, saying it's hokum, right? So what you said is that, beliefs are truths, right? And it's the truth that you believe. So if you know the result that you want, then you're willing to bend that truth that you've believed in order to get it. So,
yeah, and every belief carries with it a limitation, and so once a belief system ceases in your mind, then all limitations that came with that belief system also cease in your existence. So you're changing belief systems, because every belief system has a limitation that keeps it from going further. So I liken it to your the Bible says the ego dies a thousand deaths, and that's what belief systems are, is your ego. And you know, when it comes to contrast, you know, you have to find people that are doing what you're doing, have what you have. Find people that know more than you, that disagree with you, and find an alliance with them, because, you know, their contrast in how they think should open your mind to thinking differently. Because when we think, all we're doing is we're creating problems that aren't there and don't even matter. Because again, thinking is processing. So if you don't know exactly what you want, then you won't force yourself to process differently. Because there are people that have exactly what you have, using the same facts that you use to attain it. And the only reason why is because they process their information differently than you did. And I like to mention that again to. When I talk about the four levels of learning, you know, there's knowledge, there's understanding, wisdom, and then there's revelation. And what knowledge is, a version of ignorance. And we are all ignorant of something, right? Being smart is not what your goal is. The goal is to be intelligent. But we're all ignorant because there's something that we don't know. And then again, if knowledge is combined with appropriate truth and inappropriate truth. And then we all go and get knowledge. And then that knowledge leads to understanding, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to process something that you don't fully understand, your brain is going to do exactly what your brain is designed to do, and that is to either use past experiences and use the logic from that experience to try and close the loop that you put in front of it. And if the brain has no past experience and the loop must be closed, then the brain will close that loop. And so that understanding is where people tend to believe that if I know something, I understand it. And obviously, if I understand it, then I know it. And we those two words create the three words, you know, I know that. And once you get those, once you start saying those three words, I know that, then that should let you know that you need more growth.
Okay.
Because once you say I know that, then you probably are lacking what's called wisdom, right?
Mm.
Because what knowledge and understanding does is once you know something, you know it so well that you know what you know and why you know it. You also know what you don't know and why you don't know it. That's understanding, right? And then what understanding does is it creates accountability. Once you can humble yourself and say, hey, I know a lot, but I don't know everything, that now is a starting point to attaining wisdom. And what wisdom is the ability to discern the two. It's the ability when you know something, when you don't know something, and when you understand the latter, right? Most people, their egos are too fragile to say, I don't know this or I don't know that, especially if they're highly educated. Mm-hmm.
True.
And so
okay.
Once you get the wisdom, you're now able to have the revelation or the clarity. Because
right.
you now have accountability. Because now you can't say, so once you have the knowledge of something and you now understand it, okay, you've now gained wisdom. And it's now your choice to choose whether or not you would take this knowledge now and run with it, or if you choose to just take it and just that sit there and continue being a sheep. And that's why, you know, when you take a 14-year-old child a crime, right, let's say murder, obviously we know that murder is a very heinous act.
Right.
And if an adult creates if an adult commits murder, that adult is automatically tried as an adult because they're an adult.
Right.
Well, what is required for that child, for that 14-year-old, to be tried as an adult? Well,
they
that's
have
accountability.
To believe that, I guess, he had the wisdom. Is that it?
It's accountability, okay?
Oh, okay.
If that 14-year-old knew what murder was and knew it was bad and understood why it was bad and understood why he or she should do it, okay,
mm-hmm.
they now have accountability.
Okay.
And so now when they're faced with a position or a situation where that may happen, because they now have accountability, that's how the courts try them as an adult. Accountability has to be established first. Did you know what you did? Yes, I did. Did you know what would happen to you if you did it? Yes, I do. So and you went ahead and did it anyway. Yes. So you knew that if you did this crime, it was wrong. You shouldn't have done it. This would be the result. Blah blah blah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Once the court establishes accountability, that's when he's tried as an adult. Accountability, and at some point in all of our lives, we have the ability to be accountable. Because what I give people on the weekends is I give them the knowledge and the mm-hmm. understanding.
Okay.
It's up to them now. It's up to them to now
to
be accountable.
The wisdom and revelation.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Yes.
Right. Well, you're correct, because I now have the clarity. I've been a realtor for 17 years. So I had the knowledge and the understanding of it, but now I have wisdom and revelation. So that is true. I have gone through the same exact process that you're talking about. And now that I have wisdom and revelation, it's like the universe has opened up to me. I'm no longer in a box. The possibilities are endless. It's amazing.
Right. Now that you have clarity, you can now choose the appropriate truths to your result, regardless of if they look like a bad idea.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not sure if I gotten that part yet. I'm still processing from the left side of the quadrant, but yeah.
The reason why the belief they have is it's not because they don't know, because they have all the information in their heads. It's okay. What they're lacking is the clarity. Allows you to see, okay, I can see why this is true. I can see why I think this way about debt or credit cards, okay? But now that I see this, I now see where, okay, even though this looks like a bad idea, I now have the clarity to say, okay, I still want to do this because I know that that's not really what the result will be. And that's what clarity is the ability to sift through all of the inappropriate truths and find the appropriate truths.
Right, exactly. So given an example of, you know, we're going into the credit card and debt, you know, everybody tells you that credit cards is bad and fees are bad and things like that. In fact, preparing for our conversation today, I was flipping through Susie Orman's book, 9 Steps to Financial Freedom. And right in there in black and white, and she's supposed to be one of the top people, she's telling you, don't pay no fees, don't use credit card, don't do this, don't do that. And, of course, you know, you have a totally different mindset on that, where if the fees that you're going to be paying on the credit cards is allowing you to invest and you're reaping a huge return, then the fees don't matter. So, yeah, take us, you know, into that clarity and revelation, if you don't mind.
No. Dave and Susie, Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman, they definitely teach a very good thing, all right, because the bulk of their audience are individuals that don't have the clarity that I have. And if you don't have the clarity that I have, then it would be a bad idea to do what I do because you wouldn't know how to process it. And so to keep them from hurting themselves, then yes, it's like telling your child, I have this power tool in the garage, all right? Mm-hmm. Even though I know you can use it, okay? Because you have no clarity upon this power tool, don't use it, because if you do, you're going to
hurt yourself. Right.
And that's what these cards are. These cards are power tools. And if you don't learn how to use them, they can hurt you. So what they say is just don't get them at all, which is true. Now, when it comes to fees, okay, I totally understand what she said. And now if you look at what she says there, what she just says is an inappropriate truth, okay, which is, don't pay fees. I understand that. Fees are bad, okay?
Yeah.
Fees
mm-hmm.
on credit cards are bad. And I can't dispute that. If you ask anyone, have you ever gone to an ATM and they'll say yes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let's just keep it simple. Unless they take out $20 a week for weeks. And there are people that do this every week. They'll take out, you know, $20, $40, right? And they'll do that every week, once a week. Now, typically, if you go to an ATM, you're being charged a fee of $2.95 lowest, right? And you go there and you take out your fee, right? And if you were to calculate that $2.95 against the $20 that you just took out of that ATM, that equates to a 14% fee.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go every week and take out $20, you're paying 14% in a fee four times that month. That equates to almost a 70% fees. Now, here's why I say it's an inappropriate truth. She's saying fees are bad, don't pay fees.
Mm-hmm.
What she's saying is don't pay a fee to a credit card. Okay, it's bad to pay a 5% fee on credit card money, right?
Right.
I understand that. But so what you're saying is this, it's bad to pay a fee for a credit card one time a month of 5%, but it's totally okay to pay a 14% fee four times a month for your own money?
Right, right. To go take out your money out of the ATM, right?
Right. You
well, that's somebody that can't handle their stuff well, because if they go to their own bank, they wouldn't pay fees, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So I totally understand that. So people, they don't have the clarity on how to process the fees,
yeah.
Right? The fees,
they don't have the
fees.
Wisdom and the revelation. So definitely. So, yeah, I like that there's four levels. It's true. And processing information, like you said in the very beginning, is one of the first things that you have to become wealthy. Most of the people that I talk about now talk about, you know, how Donald Trump, right, and how he has the knowledge and the revelation to not pay taxes, even though he's a billionaire and all that. And he's not doing anything illegal. It's just he's got a different mindset. He's got a billionaire mindset. And, you know, that's basically how he's trying to run the country now, because he's looking at everything through business eyes and business lenses. And, that's not always appropriate. But that's the mindset
right.
that he has. And that's basically everything that he look at are through those lenses, right? So, good. All right. Well, all right. So, good information. So let's say that someone is listening to this show and you have sparked their interest that they now want to be wealthy, and they maybe want to use real estate as their path. Where would you tell them to start? Are we going to talk about the mindset? Are we going to talk about something specifically they have to do to learn to process information a little differently? What would be their starting point?
Well, definitely with the mindset, but I want to be clear that it's not about how they feel about themselves or how they feel about how they get up every day. You know, I'm not saying it isn't about your characteristics. It's not about how good you feel or how confident you are. Wealth is processing information, and I would start there. It's about finding someone or finding an organization that will challenge your current belief systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way. You must find a way to transcend your current belief system. And transcend means to put to death, because your current belief system will never create the wealth that you desire, because the wealth that you desire requires you to do things right now with your current belief system that look like a bad idea. So you have to learn how to process, because you're not going to be taught anything new or anything different or anything secret. You're going to take the exact same information that you have now, but just process it differently. So that right there is the key. You must find someone that will challenge how you process information.
Mm. Okay. Perfect. All right. Wow. Like I said, I knew that we were going to have an excellent conversation. Good. All right. Well, let's take a quick station break, and we'll be right back to wrap up our segment for today. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we have been speaking to speaker, trainer, and real estate investor Trevor Evans, and we are talking about what is true wealth, the path to financial freedom. So Trevor talked to us about the mindset of process and how we process information. He talked to us about the four levels of learning, that every one of us thinks that we have knowledge, and we would say things like, I know that. But true knowledge is having the wisdom and the revelation or the clarity to use that information to get a different result from what you're being having right now. And today we're specifically talking about wealth, but it goes for everything. This show is about a mindset transformation to achieve any result that you want in your life, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in your health, whether it's in your finances. But so I learned, again from Trevor, and cemented some different truths for me as well. And, one of the things that, we can talk about is where you get from where you are today to where you want to be tomorrow. So I like that Trevor challenged you to find an organization that will challenge your current belief system so that you would start making that shift. So as we wrap up, one of the things that surprised me the most from my three-day seminar with Trevor was the fact that he started talking about his vortex and his frequency. And I was really amazed. Here is a real estate investment class, and this gentleman at the front there is talking about things that I spend time with and I, that I study. So right away, this is where we had that match. So as we wrap up, Trevor, I want to ask you, why did you think that it was necessary to talk for about 2 hours in this, actually, about vortex and frequency? Why was that important?
Well, because, when it comes to law of attraction, you attract what you are. And I've been asking, the vortex to send me individuals that are looking to learn what I'm teaching, and tracks is just that. It's a law. It's a teaching. It's a law, and lots of people are afraid of it because they don't understand it. And I tell folks all the time, it is not a religion. It doesn't go against any religion that you believe in right now. It's just stating the law of the universe, and it clearly does exist, whether you believe it or not. And
sure.
And you have to live a life where you're living and behaving in ways of that you want to be or want to have, opposed to what you do have. And I'm truly into the law of attraction because I get up every morning and I meditate. I meditate numerous times during the day for that clarity and that guidance, and I'm always watching my emotion. And so I'm constantly thinking with that God-like spirit, of love and prosperity and happiness and joy, it's amazing because the evidence I have, you know, in my life, it shows up every day in this. And I began with that subject in class just to let people know that a lot of this law, if not everything, has to do with success. And it begins with how you view yourself. And because how you view yourself, we are all mirrors of each other. If you smile at someone, they'll smile back. If you frown, they'll frown back. You know, we're all mirrors. And so if I want an open mind and I want acceptance and I want, you know, everyone to learn, then that is vibration that must evolve, you know, and match those that are giving the same ones off. And so I start that for any of those that are into the law of attraction. I trust this guy, you know, or oh, he's different, and it's a commonality thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, it definitely got me. It got my attention right away, and I'm thinking, wow, because you know I spend the, you know, and I basically love what you just said. You know, one of my favorite words is that I put in my vortex is who I seek is seeking me. So you're almost saying the same thing. You're asking, you know, the law of attraction to send you students that want what you have. You know, last night I was flipping the channels, and one of the people that I love, you know, I love Abraham Hicks, and I love Deepak Chopra, and, you know, I have a lot of teachers and mentors, but I love Deepak. He was one of the first people that I loved, and I was flipping the channels, and I came across his PBS segment on You Are the Universe. And one of the things he said, that he only puts his programs on PBS because the people that watch PBS are the people that are interested in learning more. I mean, he's not going to put it on regular television because the people there are not interested. And I know, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are not interested in the things that I'm interested in. I mean, my husband came in and just left immediately. He doesn't want to watch that.
Yeah.
So, in order for you to get the biggest bang for your buck, then, you need to be matched with people that are like you, that are seeking what you have to give. And that's basically how it works. So that's beautiful. Sorry, you're going to say something.
Yeah, the basis of life is freedom, and the result of life is expansion, and the purpose of life is joy.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, expanding. So, yeah, I mean, and again, you know, that was law of attraction as well, because this morning when I was meditating, I got some really great relations on the fact that I am the universe, you know, the dark matter and, you know, dark energy. I'm made up of that as well. So I started, you know, branching off my studies into that. So, again, that was something that I needed to hear, and that's why I attracted it into my experience. So, awesome. This has been a wonderful conversation. I love it in so many levels that I am now getting into this space. Thank you for bringing it to me so passionately, bringing it to me where I'm expanding and I'm learning, and it's I have nothing but gratitude for you opening that door for me. But of course, I attracted you. we all know that. I attracted you. Somebody sent me an email, and I went to a conference. It's like, oh, you saw it on the radio. You know, we are always, you know, again, Deepak Chopra, one of his topics is synchrodestiny, that there's everything happens for a reason, and nothing happens by coincidence. And I believe that,
nothing,
too. So,
yes.
So as we wrap up, do you have like what do you offer personally other than teaching? Do you have some way for anyone listening to this audio, to this broadcast, if they want to get in touch with you for something, or you have any closing words? Or
yes, I have my website, which will be going up here in another week or so. It's being.com.
I'm sorry, say that again.
beingnormalsucks.com.
Okay. All right. All right.
And yeah. And it's a website that I'm putting together for, it's a place where individuals can come for a small little inspirational type thing of that subject. And it'll be from everything from money to wealth to relationships to just everyday life. And
nice.
It'll be going live in about a week or so. And I have a lot of content on there and merchandise for sale as well, keys and bags. And it's what I'll be doing on my own as far as speaking is traveling the country and the world on that brand and speaking about waking up those individuals that, because people are seeking what we know and what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to be that vessel to help bring a message to individuals that are either they hear the message or they're afraid of it or whatnot, and just to give confirmation that yes, how you feel and what you feel is actually true, and there are lots of us out there. So look for that to be going up.
About a week. I love that brand. Yeah, being normal does suck. That's not a play on words.
It does. Conformity is not what we're here for.
Yeah, mediocrity, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You never go anywhere with that. Awesome. All right. Well, listen, you have been an awesome guest, audience. I hope that you were able to glean something from our conversation today and that you have now decided that you want to get a different result. You don't want to be normal. You want to maybe invest. You want to have some personal development. You want to change from your current circumstance. So you can contact me for personal coaching if you wanted to. You can download some of my other recordings because they're all in the same space, the space of taking you from where you are today to where you want to be tomorrow. Growth and expansion, and you can check me out on my iTunes podcast under Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna, Blog Talk, YouTube, any of those other venues. You can tune in every week on this station at 5 o'clock for the Mindset Transformation radio program. And I hope to see you again next week. So once again, thanks for listening, and we will talk again.